What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Trigger. This is Trigger Ups number 558 here on Wednesday, May 14th. And I am back for this week. Just a little housekeeping note, the next 2 weeks will be Corey. He'll be back here with Matt. And then hopefully I'll be back after that. But a lot going on here. So let's jump right into it. Obviously, the Middle East trip of President Trump is well underway. And the liberal media is still grasping at straws on how to attack President Trump as he continues to stack wins for the American people. Just yesterday, when he was in Saudi Arabia with the Crown Prince,
playing the YMCA at the conclusion of the...
That was a wild scene yesterday. So
I think MBS wanted to do the dance.
Yeah.
He definitely wanted to, but he's like, I'm going to be king soon. I can't do this.
You know, first off, President Trump was the first president since Ronald Reagan to get a fighter jet escort into a foreign visit landing. Then, of course, Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, essentially broke their usual protocol and met Trump on the runway where an Air Force One landed, just showing how important that this visit was to them. And then they brought the president over to wherever they were meeting in the Beast, the presidential limo, which was escorted by a bunch of Saudi Arabians riding horses with American flags and Saudi flags, which was fucking awesome. They had, you know, Trump gave a great speech. We'll do some clips about that in a little bit. Secured between $600 billion and $1 trillion investment from Saudi Arabia. Then he continued on in his trip to Qatar, or Qatar, however the fuck you want to say it. I looked it up before this. I've heard it many different ways. I've heard it different ways on TV recently. I've heard it different ways. So we're going with Qatar.
Qatar.
But nonetheless, today, a $1.2 trillion deal with them, including major Boeing purchases. And of course, the thing that the left is flipping their fucking shit over is President Trump taking a gift to the United States government from the government of Qatar for our new, luxury presidential plane.
Yeah.
Which will serve as temporary Air Force One. Now, the left loves to say that this is a conflict of interest, blah, blah, blah. They're full of fucking shit, first off.
This is the first time this has ever happened, just in general.
Air Force Two, by the way, was gifted from a foreign government.
Yeah.
That's what the vice president rides on. So this is not unprecedented. And the only reason it needs to happen in the first place is because Boeing has proven to be incapable of meeting the delivery timeline of the new Air Force Ones.
I think that's the real story
It is the real story.
That's the real story, that Boeing can't finish the fucking airplanes.
They're hugely over budget. First off, it was supposed to be delivered in 2022.
Oh, my God.
Then it was pushed back to 2025 this year. Then it was pushed back to 2027. Now it's rumored it's not going to be till 2030.
Oh.
And I can tell you, as someone who has toured Air Force One, the current Air Force One is old and in need of replacement. It is well beyond its useful lifetime. It is from HW. Okay?
Yeah.
Put that in perspective.
And then it got shot up when Harrison Ford was president.
True.
Oh, it actually got destroyed.
Yeah. I forgot about that. And so the one thing that they did get very correct in that was the conference room.
Yeah.
How it's on a slant like that. Everything else was kind of bullshit. But that was correct. And so that's the real story. You're correct. Yeah. That is the real story. That Boeing cannot meet its timelines. It's way cost overrun. They fucked over the American taxpayer. Not only that, they make those shitty planes that fall out of the sky.
Yeah.
Qatar just bought a lot of them, so they could have them. I don't know. I prefer Airbus. Yeah. But anyway. Goodbye. So they're freaking out about it, and it's so ridiculous. Before Trump went on this trip, he had a event in the Oval Office where he signed the drug pricing order and was asked a question by ABC. Take a listen.
Mr. President, what do you say to people who view that luxury jet as a personal gift to you? Why not leave it behind?
You're ABC fake news, right?
Why not?
Only ABC, well, a few of you would. Let me tell you should be embarrassed asking that question. They're giving us a free jet. I could say, no, don't give us, I want to pay you $1 billion or $400 million or whatever it is. Or I could say, thank you very much. You know, there was an old golfer named Sam Snead. Did you ever hear him? He won 82 tournaments. He was a great golfer. And he had a motto, when they give you a putt, You say, thank you very much. You pick up your ball and you walk to the next hole. A lot of people are stupid. They say, no, no, I insist on putting it. And then they putt it and they miss it. And their partner gets angry at them. You know what? Remember that, Sam Snead. When they give you a putt, you pick it up and you walk to the next hole and you say, thank you very much.
Respectfully, sir, as a businessman, some people may look at this and say, have you ever been given a gift worth millions of dollars and then not receive
anything? It's not a gift to me. It's a gift to the Department of Defense. And you should know better because you've been embarrassed enough and so has your network. Your network is a disaster. ABC is a disaster.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's just like... They're just grasping at straws. They're floundering about. They have no clue how to successfully attack the president. And
especially when the Wall Street Journal's Josh Dossi wrote about this 10 days before the ABC News tried to weaponize it as fake news, saying that Trump was frustrated with the Boeing order, so he sought a defense contractor, I think LF. It's Florida based.
Yeah, it's Florida. Yeah.
And they acquired this 747 that was once used by the Qatari royal family. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be upgraded and retrofitted. So it's not necessarily a bribe.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone, of course, you know, Caitlin Collins and everybody on Sunday, well, this is confirmed. Well, it took 12 hours, by the way, before this story fell apart.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But hey, ABC News had to go in there during the, like you said, during the EO signing and had to put their head in the lion's mouth.
Yeah. Got chopped and off. This new plane is beautiful, by the way. So yeah. I think it'll probably take close to a year. But also, the idea that this just came out of thin air is ridiculous. Yeah. I can't get into much more than that. But, like, it's insane.
They just don't know what to do.
It's
they
approved.
Just, they don't
okay?
know what to do. Yeah.
Buzz Patterson, former Air Force pilot, White House military aide, carrier of the nuclear football, who writes for us. At Red State and also at Town Hall, took to X the other day and did a great explanation of this. And I do want to read this because I think it sums it up basically the best that I've seen. The Qatar B-747 was built in the U.S. by Boeing. Okay, they are offering a newer 747 to replace one of the two current Air Force Ones that have been flying for over 40 years, which are tired and need to be replaced. The Air Force One wing and Air Force Two at Andrews Air Force Base here in D.C. has already purchased aircraft from other countries in the past, which are currently flying our vice president and senior government officials. This is not new. Qatar offering the jet to the U.S. military, not Donald Trump. The DOD contractor is based in the U.S. They are, not unironically, also working to upgrade the FAA technology as we speak. They will get the aircraft, perform all the security checks and installation of the systems the Air Force One requires to safely move the president around the world, not the Qataris. And obviously, we'll have to pay for that, but not the $400 million the 747 would normally cost.
I could say thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah.
This Air Force One will serve the sitting president, whether they be Republican or Democrat, until Boeing gets their shit together to complete the new, improved 747s that they started under Obama, was renegotiated under Trump, completely ignored by the Biden administration, and now looking like 2029 to 2030 for delivery at the soonest.
Yeah. Well, Biden probably forgot, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He forgot who George Clooney was.
Yeah.
So.
And oh my God, you can never take a gift from Qatar.
Yeah.
The Clinton Foundation received more than $40 million from them.
And there's probably many more gifts from there. It's just ridiculous.
No, it's totally insane.
The Clinton Foundation was the biggest slush fund. Mm-hmm. I love how that's been like completely forgotten.
And what do the Democrats do? Because they think that this is a reasonable thing. They fly a banner saying Qatar-a-Lago over Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
He's not even there.
He's not even there. Yeah. But Chuck Schumer is putting a hold on all these DOJ nominees over this.
Yeah, crying
once,
Chuck.
Once Pam Bondi to testify before the Hill. It's just a circus.
Yeah, it's insane. It's totally insane. And again, they're just grasping at straws. Yeah. Trump continues to stack wins, massive investments, you know, coming up, I think, on $10 trillion in the United States now. And we're going to get to more economic news in a little bit because it's been all very, very positive. I was told we were going to have a recession and the market was going to crash.
This was going to be the worst market month since 1932.
Yeah. April. I was told the tariffs would destroy the United States, but here we are doing better than ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so let's see. What else do we got here? This one is particularly fun. And you wrote about this.
Yeah.
You wrote about this obviously extensively while we were tracking the decline of Joe Biden. We said back in 2020,
when he was cooked,
when he was first, quote, elected.
Yeah.
that he was fucking dementia ridden and cooked, like you said. But now these leftist fucking journalists, and I use that very sparingly with air quotes, you can't see my air quotes, are saying, oh no, we didn't pretend like he was fine.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
It's called everybody by surprise.
And we talked about this Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson book. Jake Tapper is now out on book tours, you know, pretending like he wasn't one of the ones complicit in covering up Joe Biden's decline.
Well, we got the clips.
And Tom Elliott over at Grabian, great partner of ours here at Town Hall Media, put out this supercut of Jake Tapper defending Joe Biden's cognitive ability. Take a listen.
How do you think it makes little kids with stutters feel when they see you make a comment like that?
It's very clearly a cognitive decline.
Okay.
That's what I'm referring to. It makes me uncomfortable.
You have this is so amazing. It's so amazing to me
and try and figure out an answer.
A cognitive decline.
President Biden embraces his stutter, talking about it, while Trump mocks it, exaggerates it, belittles it. He's sharp physically. I mean, mentally.
Yeah.
I think the question is physically, right?
Right.
More so?
Right.
Right. And the guy who's his chief opponent is only 3 or 4 years younger than him.
Exactly.
I mean, you have questioned President Biden's age, mental fitness, ability to lead. Of those supporting Biden, you said, quote, shame on all of you pretending everything is okay. You're leading us and him into a disaster. Do you worry that you damaged him at all? I don't doubt that you got hugs and handshakes behind closed doors today, and maybe even publicly some of them because they like you personally. But I've heard a lot of really nasty stuff about you from your Democratic colleagues.
Sure.
I mean, just like, what is he thinking? Exercise in narcissism. I mean, false claims to the Wall Street Journal about President Biden's mental fitness and acuity. He's 81, and his memory, you know, it doesn't seem great. It's not horrible, but I don't understand the outrage.
Okay. Here's a tweet from Alex Thompson. June 2023. Biden's weird phrases are sometimes weaponized by the GOP to insinuate the 80-year-old president is in mental decline. But Biden's been using these unique phrases for years, even as some of his aides remain confused by their meaning.
As if that's a good thing, first of all, just in itself. Mm-hmm. But also, it's a lie.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
Yeah. NBC Nightly News finally admits that Biden was brain dead in office. Take a listen.
Meanwhile, there are damaging new details tonight about former President Biden. A new book alleges serious concerns about his mental acuity. Gabe Gutierrez joins us now. And Gabe, President Biden's team is now responding to this reporting.
That's right, Lester. According to an excerpt from the new book obtained by NBC News, it was, quote, obvious to many at a fundraiser last summer that then-President Biden did not know who George Clooney was, even though they were longtime acquaintances, and Clooney is one of the most famous men in the world. The book, by journalists Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson, goes on to say former President Obama, who was also at the event, had to hop in and finish sentences for Biden during photo ops. In separate excerpts, the authors write that Biden would forget the names of longtime aides and that there were internal discussions about putting the president in a wheelchair in a second term. At the time, the White House publicly defended the president's fitness for office. A Biden spokesperson now says the authors did not fact-check the book with them, adding, "We continue to await anything that shows where Joe Biden had to make a presidential decision or where national security was threatened or where he was unable to do his job. He was a very effective president." Lester?
Gabe, thank you.
Chuck Todd. Good old crying Chuck Todd. Or Sleepy Eyes? Is it Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd? I forget the nickname of him. On MSNBC last night, torching Schumer and White House officials who covered up Biden's decline. Take a listen.
All right. Senator Chuck Schumer, I know you got to go. I appreciate your time today.
We'll see you
soon, I hope. Thank you.
Take care.
All right. And our panel joins us now. CNN political commentator Jonah Goldberg, the host of the Chuck Toddcast, Chuck Todd, Democratic strategist Paul Begala, Republican pollster Kristen Soltis Anderson, both CNN political commentators. Chuck Todd, go.
He is among the people that are responsible for this. The leaders of the Democratic Party, the staff of the White House. And I have to say, I find everybody now talking to these authors, get out of here. Go home. You're part of the problem. Now you tell us. So I find, you know, the reason why the Democratic Party has less credibility today. Here's an unpopular president, and the Democratic Party has a worse rating than the Republican Party with this catastrophic governance that we've seen over the last 120 days. And yet, why is the Democratic Party in worse shape? Because of this distrust, because of this frankly, what the public feels is if the party leadership let them down and let them let this happen, he's as responsible as anybody else. He was a leader in the party. He could have said something sooner.
But Chuck Todd knew, like everyone else.
Yes,
we all fucking saw it.
Yeah.
They did nothing about it.
I think it was a top Democratic senator who admitted,
yeah,
like, off the record, it wasn't recorded, that like this guy's done.
It was a cabinet secretary.
Cabinet secretary.
Yeah, take a listen to this from last July.
But I had a cabinet secretary 2 years ago.
Right.
Okay. 2 years ago. All out of the blue asked me, do you really think he's going to, he can't run again like this? And I said, well, you have more interaction with him than I do. And they said, I don't have a lot of interaction with him. This is a pretty senior cabinet secretary. So, and this was 2 years ago. This is one of those, you know, it's the classic open secrets, a non-versation, right?
And it's just insane. And
he knew.
And it all started to fall apart when George Clooney blew the lid off the whole thing.
Yeah,
you remember that?
Yeah, it was bad.
In
fact, that was the excerpt in the New Yorker. Mm-hmm. Was George Clooney's, first of all, had no idea that Steven Spielberg helped Biden prep for the State of the Union. So he had all this movie magic. Clooney was ecstatic to do this LA fundraiser. He meets Biden. Biden doesn't recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
Another Hollywood VIP described the president, the then president, as someone who was like unalive, just walking around.
Mm-hmm.
And after just the shit show of that fundraiser, where everybody and their mother knew that he was cooked, Congresswoman Annie Custer was there, witnessed Biden struggling to engage with people in the photo line because all these people gave all this money, right? Got to get a photo with the president. He could not hack it. And she's like, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're cooked. But he was fine. He was fine. You know, Obama was there. All the aides were there. John Favreau and his wife were at a dinner before this fundraiser, along with Dan Pfeiffer. And even they walked, the quote was, disturbed. They walked away from that dinner that weekend at the White House with Biden, completely disturbed.
But wasn't it as early as 2022 or maybe 23 that Biden's aides were discussing the procedure for if the president died in office?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And that they were
concerned. Oh, the wheelchair.
They were concerned that if he got reelected.
Yeah.
Reelected.
Yeah.
He would have been elected the first time in that case.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That he would have been in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. I don't understand how that's.
Yeah.
How does that work? You cannot have the president of the United States coming down visiting dignitaries in a wheelchair.
Well,
you
can't, FDR did it, but
that's radio. That's the days of radio. You can do that.
Yeah.
But, and also nobody really knew.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they kind of knew, but they didn't know, whatever. But, that was just not, it was just bad. And then Clooney had to basically come to terms with, this guy's done.
Mm-hmm.
And he penned that op-ed, and it dissolved the ties between the Biden White House and the Hollywood left and a ton of cash.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of it. Was it 10 days later that he dropped out?
Well, after the debate.
Yeah. So
yeah.
And then July 10th was when the Clooney drops the op-ed.
Uh-huh.
I think was it July 20th that he finally got the boot?
Yeah. Well, because
wow,
the debate happened at the end of June. I think it was June 28th.
Yeah.
You had a kind of intermediate period between July 4th where everybody took off, but there was a lot of concern.
Yeah.
And then, Clooney did that.
Yeah.
And then it just fell apart.
Nancy Pelosi decided to whip out the...
we still don't know that he actually agreed to it either. There's some debate about that. Remember the signature debate we talked about here on the show. And now David Plouffe, Obama's top advisor, is like, oh, he stole this from the American people. Well, one, he stole the first election. As we knew that.
Yeah.
But then you stole the nomination. You all knew.
Yeah.
You all knew.
Yeah.
And now you're trying to revise history here? This is revisionist history at its finest.
Well,
and
it's a bad gaslighting attempt.
We were all told even last summer before the debate, right before the debate, literally weeks before.
Mentally
those
sharp.
Are all cheap fakes.
Yeah.
He's sharp as a tack. He's sharp as ever.
Remember, the doors close and he does cartwheels and he's engaged and he runs circles around people. Meanwhile, we're getting reports that when he's speaking with NATO officials, they're like, this guy is old and decrepit and kind of reminds me of my parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who all of whom are going to experience this when our parents get old. And that's how they viewed him.
Yeah.
So it's like even across the pond, everybody knew that he was cooked.
Yeah.
I mean, the meeting with the Germans in the Swiss Alps over Ukraine. Remember, They canceled the meeting with the chancellor because he was too tired. Yep. Or was it the foreign minister? I forget. It was some.
He also didn't go to a G7 dinner or something.
Couldn't go to the dinner. I think that was the night that he was wandering off, and the Italian prime minister had to help him from wandering off into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
The deep fake.
Yeah.
The deep fake.
Yeah. No, cheap fake. Oh, that was cheap, it. Yeah, remember? Cheap. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Mr. Tater was talking about that. Your mm-hmm. favorite guy.
Yeah, it's insane. They all knew. They all knew. The DNC is a mess. I mean,
yeah.
You know, now we have this whole David Hogg debacle. Have you been following this?
Yeah, I can't believe they're making me defend this guy. Yeah. But look, there was an election, and he won the fucking vice chair election, and now they're going to they fast tracked it to revoke it so that they can appease this grievance from this Native American woman who claims uh-huh. that his win violates the diversity bylaws or some shit.
The diversity requirement.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's insane.
I mean, Joe Conchinelli, this is Soviet style. Like, David Hogg is a disaster for the party. We kind of want him there forever.
Oh, for sure.
But the way that they're doing it, and then Christine Pelosi, daughter of Nancy, who's uh-huh. on that credentials committee, tweeting, you know, this has nothing to do with politics at all.
Uh-huh.
Or David Hogg. I think it does. I think, uh-huh. I mean, the guy wants to, you know, basically shoot inside the ship and hurl hand grenades inside the tent and get rid of people he thinks aren't with it, whatever the fuck that means.
Yeah.
But whatever. I was hoping for a meat grinder and a civil war like never before, but now we're going to do, it might still be a civil war. David Hogg has a presence. I mean, whether we like it or not, he can mobilize people and cause trouble. So uh-huh. I think we're in for some popcorn-worthy entertainment. I don't know when the full vote on the DNC on this goes to, but the credentials committee has put it on the docket, and he's probably going to lose his job.
Yeah, well, you know, I think there's a couple of levels to this that are pretty funny. One, David Hogg's a fucking loser. You know, he's a real piece of shit. Never should have been put into that, but was rightfully elected into that job by the DNC. Secondly, they got all pissy because he wants to take out a bunch of longtime, you know, super old, decrepit incumbents up on the Hill that he deems not progressive enough.
Yeah. Aren't with the program,
which
calls it.
Gets me licking my chops for Civil War to start.
Yeah.
Then they're going to kick him out, right?
Yeah.
What do you think he's going to do? He's going to go raise so much money in that PAC and the progressive wing and spend a ton of money trying to take out Democrats in primaries.
Yeah.
So it's really a win-win
for us. And you know AOC is going to hop on that.
Oh,
It's going to get her national headlines, so she's definitely going to do that. I mean, forget her, the rest of her district, which is like, all her constituents are like, where the fuck are you, lady? I mean, you know, but listen, they understand that she's a rock star now, and not all is well in her district with her constituents who can't seem to reach her.
Well,
did,
there's
you see
no
that,
surprise.
Did you see that her home office is only open on Thursdays and it's by appointment only?
Is it really?
You just cannot walk in. Nope. It's Thursdays, appointment only.
That's not super surprising.
She's on her Fight the Oligarchy tour with Bernie, you know, on the private jets, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's really something. Yeah.
And then when pressed about it, Bernie's like, what do you think I should, people like me should fly United?
Yeah.
Oh my God, this
that's
guy,
a good imitation.
This fucking guy. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I have to wait online.
Yeah, God forbid you fly United first class. It's very nice. Last week, right after we recorded the episode, we got a new pope.
We did.
An American pope.
Which,
first one ever.
When I was practicing, I was told was a unicorn dream because
the
European sect of the College of Cardinals would never allow it. But hey.
Well, it happened. You know, still the jury's still out on whether this is a... I think it's an improvement over Francis.
Yeah.
One thing also is, like, we try immediately to jump into the, like, does he fit into our political side or whatever.
We need to stop.
And I kind of think that he might be of the thinking that, like, the Pope shouldn't necessarily be political.
Yeah.
He has voted in Republican primaries before. I think he's mainly like Nikki Haley type of Republican, which, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That's probably about as good as you're going to get for a pope.
Yeah.
You know, it's all the, we love the poor and the migrants, but abortion.
Yeah, which is typical of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is pro-gun control. They're economically progressive.
Yeah.
You know, it's a difference between, like, MAGA conservatism and, like, tradition. They're a traditional institution. They're going to always be that way. Right. So some people were like, first of all, I'm like, I think some people need to just dial it down. This guy does not have a vote in Congress.
Right.
So let's just take it easy.
Right.
But I think it's
Well, yeah, there's tweets of him like criticizing J.D. Vance, but then there's also tweets of him being super pro-life. Yeah. And like,
oh, and you know, not being for the whole transgender stuff.
Yeah, oh, no, definitely
no,
not. Yeah.
No.
So. Well, and so, I, you know, I'll give him a chance. We'll see what happens. I also think that very much when it comes to this, like, you know, it's also your local parish.
Yeah.
Like, there are parishes here in Northern Virginia that are super woke and liberal, right?
Yeah.
Which, of course, I avoid.
Yeah.
But then there's also some that are very traditional.
Mm-hmm.
There is, you know, one down where Clarence Thomas goes to church.
Yeah.
I've been there before. Some of the Mass is in Latin.
Yes, I've heard that.
There is a church up here in Arlington that I go to, St. Charles, where the pastor is a former commie.
Ooh.
Now a conservative.
Yeah.
And parts of the Mass are in Latin. There's other churches where it's just there's no politics involved. Yeah. And that's how it should be, honestly.
Yeah.
And then of course on the other side, like I said, you have the woke, you know, we love all our tranny kids and drag queens and fucking weird shit, you know.
But you know, we took the Vatican. So
that's true.
The Vatican is now the 51st state.
America first.
That's right.
Listen, we got Trump. We've got manufacturing coming back.
Yes.
We've got the Pope. We've got the Olympic Games. We've got the World Cup. We've got America 250 coming up.
America 250 is going to be amazing.
It is going to be. It's going to be a great 4th of July this year. We've got the military, parade.
Yeah, the U.S. Army turns 250, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
It happens to be on the president's birthday, which is also Flag Day. Very appropriate.
Yep.
Cannot wait to go to that parade here in D.C. The people are going to freak the fuck out, the libtards down here.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
So North Korea.
That's a talking point.
Yeah,
so. Let's see. Is this your story?
Yeah, they got her.
You wrote about this.
Yeah, they got
her. Why don't you go ahead?
Okay, so Judge Hannah Dugan, I'm sure you guys know her. She's from Wisconsin. She helped a illegal alien. I believe his name is Eduardo Flores Ruiz. Mm-hmm. He was being arraigned on domestic violence charges. Well, she found out that ICE agents were in the courthouse, and they were like, we have this warrant for him.
Mm-hmm.
It was an administrative warrant. She buys time by saying, nah.
Yeah.
You need a judicial warrant. Got to go across the hall. And then she's like, hey, Reese, take my super secret, not really super secret, but take my back entrance that only judges and courthouse personnel can use.
Yeah.
And that's a crime.
Yeah.
She willingly assisted a person from federal detention, and she's been indicted. I mean, the state Supreme Court has long suspended her duties for obvious reasons.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, now she's formally indicted on those charges. And gotta lock her up. No one is above the law.
That's true.
No one is above the law.
I've been told that, just like Letitia James is going to jail for mortgage fraud.
Oh, my God. How is that not, what do they call it in Wolf of Wall Street? A Grenada?
Yeah, yeah.
It's all on paper, man, by hundreds of thousands.
So a story the left has also been freaking out here over for, I guess, the past few days now. Why don't you tell us how this started and the truth about what's happening in South Africa?
The truth is, this week in Dulles,
mm-hmm.
some white South Africans were accepted as refugees.
Uh-huh.
You know, the only 59.
And what were they doing when they arrived?
Oh, they're waving the flag.
Waving American flags.
Waving American flags.
Not
happy
their flag.
Happy to be here.
It was families.
Yeah.
It wasn't single fighting age men. It wasn't terrorists.
Yep.
And the left.
Freaked out.
Yep.
Because it was white people.
I'm sorry. I thought you were for that.
Yeah. I mean, they want, of course we know it's a race issue. They want these third world pieces of shit to come in the hundreds of thousands and invade our communities.
Well, remember, we were just told
rape our women and do drugs and kill people, but
we were told that the Great Replacement Theory was a conspiracy theory.
But now we bring in 59, mind you.
Yeah.
59 farmers, and they act like this is like apartheid's coming, being imported into the United States. And they freaked out. Frankly, I don't blame them. Do you see how the South African government reacted to this refugee issue? Pretty much in diplomatic language said, well, these 59 whites got away from the machete. I mean, that's basically what they said. So,
well, it's a genocide.
Yeah.
The leftist media has been saying it's not a genocide.
The killing of white farmers has been going on for years.
Yes, it is a genocide.
You know what? Listen, tough shit.
Yeah.
The president is now in control of the immigration process and policy, and he thinks these people are, and frankly, they should be. Have you seen these rallies, folks? I mean, again, nothing new. They're just being recycled now because it's now in the news more prominently.
Uh-huh.
But they're jumping up and down saying, kill all the whites, kill all the Boers, which is the same thing. You know? So if I saw that and the government's reacting like this, I would get my ticket and declare asylum for asylum.
Yeah.
Apply for asylum, too.
Yep.
So, again, that's not to say that all asylum seekers are bad or evil, but the ones that Joe Biden was letting in.
Yeah.
We're certainly
the ones that
garbage.
We were paying to fly.
Yeah.
In. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Smorgasbord segment here. First up, Sean Duffy, Transportation Secretary, announcing an ambitious plan to overhaul the transportation system in the United States, particularly coming to the air traffic control system, which, as we know, has been a disaster.
Yeah.
And was a disaster because of Pete Buttigieg.
Oh, yeah. The guy who said that this administration is incompetent because of that.
Well, yeah. And that, right? That he is running for president as well.
Oh, yeah. But the beard.
Yes, yes, but he could barely grow.
Yeah.
Great clip out of the Oval Office the other day. Hilarious, classic prime Trump. Take a listen.
And when they took over, Buttigieg, who has no clue, you know, he drives to work on his bicycle with his, in all fairness, with his husband on the back, which is a nice, loving relationship. But he didn't have a clue. This guy didn't have a clue. And he's actually a contender for president between him and Crockett. You can have that party, but he didn't.
Good old Mayor Pete.
Yeah.
They have a great plan. It's going to take a little bit of time, but I'm very confident that within the next year or so, this is going to be complete with the help of Elon Musk, of course. Let's see. What else we got here? Doge.
Yeah.
We know Elon is leaving Doge, unfortunately.
This month, yeah.
He's got to get back to running his businesses that he's taking hundreds of billions of losses on personally because the left is out of fucking control. But now we know that the person taking over Doge is going to be none other than Russ Vought, the director of the Office of Management and Budget. And Russ Vought, of course, President Trump's top budget official.
Also hated by Democrats, so
yes,
it's a great pick.
Well, yeah, you know, Project 2025.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. So
yeah,
his next project.
What was their tagline? Project 2025. The plan to make President Trump a dictator.
Yeah, yeah.
Your terms are acceptable.
Yeah, terms are acceptable. He is going to audit the Pentagon. That's going to be the first on his item list when he takes over. But I also love how he wants impoundment authority for the president. Basically, the right for the executive to not spend money that has been appropriated by Congress if it's bolt for bullshit, and that's gonna cause a fight.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. That's going to the Supreme Court. I'm all for it. Let's see what comes of it. I think we'll lose that fight, unfortunately.
Probably. Yeah.
But.
Well, Congress does have the power of the purse, but we will see what happens. Speaking of the Supreme Court, it is about to be Supreme Court season.
Yes, it is.
Where we get major, major rulings out of the Supreme Court before they wrap up their term before the July 4th holiday. And there's a lot of big cases up there right now regarding things that President Trump's trying to do, wants to do, birthright citizenship.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's going to be decided soon.
So big, big final end of the term coming up here. Also, the time when a Supreme Court justice will announce their retirement.
Mm.
Not saying that I'm sure that's going to happen, but I have heard some rumblings, so we will see about that. And
is
of course,
it Jean Robert?
I wish.
I know, right? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's not.
I know.
But we do have some of the best conservatives on our court aging, and they, I think, see this as the time to, if they were going to go, they got to get out now. They can't pull an RBG.
No.
We cannot risk that, because as we know, these cases come down to 5-4 as it is because John Roberts is a traitor.
But remember, there's also some swing votes. Amy Coney Barrett has been
not reliable
at all. She's been a wild card.
What a mistake. That's one of the mistakes.
Brett Kavanaugh had a period where he was kind of a...
Kavanaugh has firmed up.
Yeah, he's
Gorsuch
firmed up.
Has been in between, too.
Yeah.
Although,
did you see the theory that Amy Coney Barrett is like that because her family keeps getting threatened?
It could be.
I mean, someone did mail a pipe bomb to her sister's house.
That is true.
You know, I'm not saying I'm not unsympathetic, but you are making the terrorists, you're allowing the terrorists win their justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Barrett, but whatever.
Let's see. What else we got here? Oh, so we had a little incident on Friday up at the ICE facility in New Jersey.
You mean the insurrection?
It is an insurrection. I was told that trespassing on government property is equivalent to an insurrection.
Let's call it is. It was the Battle of Newark. And and Trump won.
Well, that congresswoman assaulted a police officer.
It's all on body cam, by the way.
Yeah, and
that's,
so
that's something.
The mayor of Newark was arrested, and they're like, "Oh, you can't do that." I'm like, "Well, actually, a mayor does not have the protections that a federal official does, such as a congressman, to go into a federal facility."
Yeah.
So there you go.
And you need an appointment to do that. Also, Robert Menendez, son of Goldbar Bob, and his soon mommy to be. Both of them are going to jail.
Oh, they're going to jail.
Yeah, both of them are going to jail for bribery. So, he goes out there, crashes out, and says, "How dare they put a hands on a congressman?" I'm like, being a member of Congress is not a legal shield, buddy.
Yeah.
So, Bobby, you all should know. First of all, you should not be talking about law and order when both your parents are going to jail for corruption and bribery.
Mm-hmm.
A. B. Wrong. And. I think you should probably get a lawyer too, because you might be going to jail.
And of course, that mayor of Newark is running in the Democrat primary to be governor of New Jersey. Some other news in the New Jersey governor's race, which is occurring this year. Remember, New Jersey and Virginia are the only two off-year states that are occurring this year, essentially. There's other local elections, but those are the big ones. Virginia, you know, Winsome Sears is great, but I don't know that we're going to be able to win that because of the federal government bukkake shit up here in Northern Virginia.
Also, Abigail, I mean, she's lying, but Abigail Spanberger saying that she's not going to fuck around with right to work.
Yeah.
That's going to buy her a lot of goodwill with some people.
Probably, but the bigger problem with her is that she wants to take all the guns, for me at least. And then Jack Cittarelli.
Oh, yeah.
Jack is back in New Jersey, endorsed by President Trump. And if he wins, mozzarella sticks for breakfast.
Yes. Make sure he's funded. All he needed was another couple million.
He came close last time.
A couple million would have put him over the top.
Well, I'll tell you, I think he was unslated to win, and then they started bringing in those votes from Newark, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, Ross Perot has a machine there.
There's a machine there. In that count, remember, we watched that count.
Yeah.
It stopped.
It did.
Anytime that fucking happens, you know what's going on.
They're making sure they have enough. They find enough votes.
Yeah.
To offset.
They got to do quick math and then figure out how many they need to make up real quick and run them through the scanner.
People didn't count it twice.
Our good friend Donald Trump Jr. under attack by the liberal media, and it turns out that it's a much more interesting story behind the scenes. You wrote about this. So Business Insider attacks Donald Trump Jr. for working with an investment firm.
Yeah.
It's investing in American business. Yeah. God forbid, you know, someone wants to do that. It's not like he's out snorting crack off of a hooker's ass.
Well, that's or eating M&Ms off the dick.
Well, that's true. That is fact.
I mean,
that was Hunter Biden.
That's Hunter Biden. Yep. But they're trying to make him that. That was the pitch.
Yeah,
he is Hunter Biden.
And Hunter Biden took bribes.
Yeah.
Illegally, and then of course got a pardon from Daddy before he left office.
He left guns everywhere, committed federal gun crimes, tax evasion. But yes, he's totally.
But it's from
Trump Jr. Is totally like Hunter Biden.
It's from Business Insider. But there's an interesting story behind it, which you wrote about today.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us?
They're owned by Alex Springer, which is a German firm. Alex Springer also owns Politico. Mm-hmm. And Alex Springer hired a Trump-aligned lobbying firm to help Politico engage with the Trump administration. Uh-huh. And they disclosed that. They did not disclose that on anything regarding the Business Insider pieces. So basically, they're trying to play both sides here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happens when... This is why the media is hated. This is why people are going to alternate information ecosystems because...
Conservative media.
Yeah, conservative media. Because it's just... You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
You're doing a hit piece on the president's son while you're hiring a firm with a Trump-aligned lobbyist to try to engage and make things better of things here. It's very funny. Not it's in keeping with business we're both Barstool followers. Barstool Sports has been attacked by Business Insider many a time.
Dave Portnoy specifically,
in which he case which like in Trump's case, all they had to do was call him. But they didn't do that for very obvious reasons. Because the entire narrative would have been shredded. So yes, it's talk about a boomerang that just knocks out both your teeth. in this case.
I'll tell you what, though, we continue to stack wins here under President Trump, including the inflation report that dropped just yesterday.
Everything.
Inflation is now at its lowest level in 4 years, 2.3% annual.
It's amazing when you kind of like curb the spending a little bit, right? Yeah.
Which some of the best slowing of inflation has occurred in food and energy, the two most important sectors.
Yes. Fixed income seniors, I'm sure, are very happy about that, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Gas prices are going down, including gas prices being down on the summer blend. Let's not forget, we switched from winter to summer blend now, which is a more expensive blend.
Yeah.
And it's still down below $3 here in Northern Virginia. I've seen some prices, some in some places as low as $2.50, $2.49.
I've seen $2 for regular.
Yeah, in like really, really rural areas.
Yeah.
The average, I think the national average is about to tick below $3. So
I was told by people that would never happen.
Yes.
Was told.
You mean the gas buddy guy?
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
He's a slib scumbag.
He causes panic. I think he should be investigated, to be honest.
Yeah, well, that's good. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
All right. Let's do our clips here from Trump's speech in Saudi Arabia, which is really good. Of course, Trump walking out to God Bless the USA. The crowd roars. They're standing, applauding. And then he had this to say about whose job it is to judge and whose job it is to defend America. I thought this was a very interesting thing and kind of a sign of the times changing. Take a listen.
In recent years, far too many American presidents have been afflicted with the notion that it's our job to look into the souls of foreign leaders and use U.S. policy to dispense justice for their sins. They loved using our very powerful military, and now it's really the most powerful it's ever been. We just are getting a budget approved, $1 trillion, highest budget we've ever had in history for military, $1 trillion. And we're getting the greatest missiles, the greatest weapons. And, you know, I hate to do it, but you have to do it because we believe in peace through strength. You have to have the strength. Otherwise, bad things could happen. But hopefully, we'll never have to use any of those weapons. Seems to be an awfully big waste of money if you're never going to use them. But hopefully, we'll never have to use them because the destructive power of some of those weapons are like nobody's seen before. I believe it is God's job to sit in judgment, my job to defend America and to promote the fundamental interest of stability, prosperity, and peace. That's what I really want to do.
I think that there is a real momentum change, and I saw someone else tweet this morning too, real momentum change in Middle East for long-term peace and diplomacy. You're seeing a group of nations aligned against Iran. And President Trump is also encouraging the Saudis to join the Abraham Accords. Take a listen.
And with the historic Abraham Accords that we're so proud of, all the momentum was aimed at peace, and it aimed very successfully. It's been an amazing thing, the Abraham Accords, and it's my fervent hope, wish, and even my dream that Saudi Arabia, a place I have such respect for, especially over the last fairly short period of time, what you've been able to do, but we'll soon be joining the Abraham Accords. I think it'll be a tremendous tribute to your country, and it will be something that's really going to be very important for the future of the Middle East. I took a risk in doing them, and they've been an absolute bonanza for the countries that have joined. The Biden administration did nothing for 4 years. We would have had it filled out. But it will be a special day in the Middle East with the whole world watching when Saudi Arabia joins us. And you'll be greatly honoring me, and you'll be greatly honoring all of those people that have fought so hard for the Middle East. And I really think it's going to be something special, but you'll do it in your own time. And that's what I want, and that's what you want, and that's the way it's going to be.
And I think they're going to.
Yeah.
Which would be just earth-shattering.
I mean, that's the big enchilada.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the underreported part about this is that since Trump initiated that in his first presidency, other Arab nations have joined that, I believe. I think Bahrain joined.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, the Saudi Arabia, if they join, everybody else is going to follow.
Yeah. And then he had something interesting to say about China and the trade deal with China. Take a listen to this.
One of the things I think that could be most exciting for us and also for China is that we're trying to open up China because, as you know, many years ago, we opened up the USA. Now it's time for China to open up, and that's part of our deal.
and we're going to open up China. To me, that's the most exciting part. But yeah, we made a deal. The relationship is very good. I've always had a good relationship with President Xi. It was interrupted because of COVID, obviously. But outside of that, I've always had a great relationship, a lot of respect for him. And we'll see how that all works out. But we have the confines of a very, very strong deal with China. But the most exciting part of the deal, it was mentioned, but we don't talk about it yet. That's the opening up of China to U.S. business. And that would be like opening up a whole new world. And I think it would be even better for China.
And something that was very interesting, Mr. Wonderful, Kevin O'Leary, who's been making the rounds on TV, doing a really good job supporting the president and his economic agenda. He's turned into quite the conservative here recently. God,
He's like, I think he's probably the only MAGA. He's a MAGA conservative, but Canadian.
Yeah. Take a listen to what he had to say about how the China deal works into the Middle East relations here and the region that Trump is visiting. Take a listen.
Really, what's going on with this trip are two things. One is China. He doesn't want China to develop a relationship in what I call the Middle East circle of friendship. And that is Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates. And then you ask yourself, why are all these AI guys with him? What's with that? And I'll tell you what it's about. At the end of this week, he has a meeting in Abu Dhabi. And what's happened in the last 2 years, maybe it's taken three, but US is number one in AI development and spending. Number two is China. Number three now, and very advanced in certain verticals, is the United Arab Emirates. They are so far ahead in many different verticals. And he wants to see that cooperation on AI be removed from the China model, because remember there was talk about the UAE starting to talk to China about AI. He doesn't want any of that. He wants these companies to form very strong bonds in AI, and when we get later this week to the UAE, that's what you're going to hear about. This is crucial. So China and AI, and of course all this money talk's fantastic, but we're in an economic war with China, and he is cutting them off at the pass in the fastest growing region on Earth, the Middle East.
It's very interesting, and I didn't think of it before, but when he said that, I was like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. And I think that's a very interesting angle of all of this. And last but certainly not least, all Trump wants and the left attacks him for is peace. Roll that clip. Good stuff.
Yeah.
The president is in Qatar today, or tonight, I guess. It's like 9 hours ahead over there. And then he's going to the UAE tomorrow and then back to the good old US of A.
And he won't be gassed. like Biden would be after a trip.
You mean tired. I thought you meant... Oh. When you say gas in the Middle East, okay, all I think is Saddam Hussein. It's just a little gas. Anyway, all right, clip of the day before we wrap up here. My least favorite piece of shit in Congress, Dan Goldman.
Oh, my God.
Had a very rough day. I think this was yesterday. Kristi Noem just took him to the woodshed.
Yeah.
Take a listen.
Mr. Abrego-Garcia, pursuant to this court order.
It's got to be extremely discouraging to be one of your constituents. To see you fight for a terrorist like this and not fight for them is extremely alarming to me.
I'm fighting for due process, and that's under the Constitution.
The gentleman's time has expired.
You should fight for due process.
The gentleman's time has expired. I now recognize Ms. Green for 5 minutes of questioning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Democrat.
That sums it up better than I ever could.
That guy is just... He's the one that, he's the reason why there was a special counsel investigation into Hunter Biden, because he was such a disaster on the dais.
Yes.
Against the IRS whistleblowers. I mean, he's just,
yeah.
I don't know why they put him as like the pinch hitter for all this shit.
Well, they got nobody.
He's grade A retard.
They got nobody. They got nothing to latch onto. They got no good attack lines. The liberal media is falling apart. Their viewership and readership is falling through the floor. Yeah. Democrats are disheartened. Their fundraising numbers are down. Act Blue is falling apart. I mean, the DNC is in chaos.
It's the worst.
It's
shape in 50 years.
Yeah. And we're lucky for that, because the Republicans up on Capitol Hill and in Congress are doing everything they can to fuck up this great opportunity on the big, beautiful bill. We are still waiting on the final details of this big, beautiful bill, but it is a mess up there.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. Keep the pressure on your congressmen and women and your senators. To get this bill passed.
Yeah, we have to get it passed.
Have to get it passed. And it has to be good. And there's a lot of crap in there that doesn't need to be in there. There's a lot of crap that was left out that's good stuff that we need in there, and they need to get it together up there.
I think we're going to have a salt problem.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I don't want to waste time talking about the specific details right now, because
you know what I mean.
Bill is not out yet. The top lines, the drafts, all that stuff we're still waiting on. So, because it's in markup right now and it gets radically changed.
Yeah.
I want to see the bill that's going to go to the floor.
Yeah.
And we'll see what's in that bill.
Ignore the leaks right now.
Yeah.
All
right. If you have any comments, any stories you think we should cover, email us, triggered@townhall.com. We love hearing from you. And if you enjoy Triggered and want it uncensored, you know what to do. Become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. Use the promo code FIGHT for 60% off your membership to get into these exclusive Club of Patriots. I will be back here probably after Memorial Day. I'm going to try to. Got some stuff coming up the next few weeks. But you'll be in the capable hands of Corey and Matt, and they'll keep you entertained here. Again, if you'd like to reach out, email us, triggered@townhall.com. I do still read every email that comes in. I promise you, some of you will reply to. And we will have another episode of Triggered for you next Wednesday, May 21st.
See you then.